Blog Talk Radio.
This is Tony here, Success with Tony D. I want to say Happy New Year to you, to you all. This is actually the first show of the year, and today I have Miss Izzy Church. She is an actress, a writer, and also a singer, and she's just going to share with us her new project called The Angry Movie Guy. How are you today, Izzy?
I'm doing great, Tony. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you for coming on again, the first show of the year. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I am an actress, writer, improviser, and singer-songwriter. I work at a company called Third Culture Creative, which is a media development company, and I develop projects for film, television, and animation. And this is my first debut novel, and I'm very excited about it. And I've just been working in the arts for a long time as an actress and a storyteller. And I really think in the last 2 or 3 years, I've really had an opportunity to hone some of my skills as a storyteller and as an artist by performing on stage, some of my own work on stage, performing in film, some of my own work in TV and film, and now with this novel. So I'm very excited to be continuing to grow as a writer and an artist, and I'm happy to be able to share this book with everybody.
Okay. Well, from what I gather, you worked with DreamWorks at one time?
Yes, I did work at DreamWorks. I started as an intern right out of college. I was actually still in college, and I was part of a program, and I got into this internship there. And I worked in the books to film department, which has been really helpful for me, since my whole dream for this project is that Angry Movie Guy will go from novel to screen adaptation. And I've actually already completed the screenplay version of it, and I'm going to be shopping it around to producers here in the new year. So that was a very useful thing for me, because I really got to see how the industry works. And my main task at DreamWorks was really reading books and analyzing them to see if they would transfer to film. So there was all sorts of breakdowns that you needed to check for to see if it would actually translate to film. So I spent a while in that department, and you kind of learn what transfers, through a novel into film well. And I hope that I accomplished it in my own novel. I certainly spent enough time looking at books to see what would work and what didn't work. So.
Well, where did you get this passion for theater and writing? Was it an early, childhood experience? Or?
Yeah, ever since I was a kid. So as a child, my parents had me in, every little production there was. I was dancing on stage, singing on stage, doing piano, all sorts of stuff. So I've always been someone who's performing, I guess. But I believe performance helps you to learn about story, because whether it's you're performing somebody else's work, you have to always learn how the beats and how the tone of a story, whether you're playing an actor or whether you're a musician or a dancer even. And so I think all of that childhood, fun stuff really helped me to work as a writer. Of course, it took a lot of writing, too. I mean, I spent years writing and rewriting and writing and rewriting to really develop my skills as a writer. But yeah, I've always had a passion for it since I was a kid. I loved writing stories and poetry.
So what gives you the greatest joy, either the writing, singing, or, you know, theater?
You know what, they all give me something different, I think. You know what I mean? Like, there's, I have a passion for all of them, and I don't know if there's one that gives me more joy, but there, it's a different type of joy that you get from each thing. You know, when you're acting on stage, that's when you're really in a part that you love and you've really prepared for it and you're ready to perform and you have your whole cast of people that you're working with, that's exhilarating for sure. But there's something, you know, very exhilarating about having your work read by hundreds of other people or thousands of other people and them just enjoying it. You know, it's a different, it's definitely a different feeling. So I don't know if there's one that I enjoy more per se, but I enjoy all of them. And when I can, you know, write and either perform in something I wrote or have other people perform in it, that's something that's really pretty cool for me, because not only you get to write something, but then you get to see it come to life in some way. And that's, I think, the best of both worlds, in my opinion, because I love both. For me, it's the best of both worlds. So I couldn't choose one, but I could merge them together, and I'd be super happy. No, I'm just saying it would be hard for me to choose one. People always ask me that, and I think if I could merge all three things into one little thing, then, you know, I'd be super happy. I try to. Like, I write a lot of projects with singing in it. There's music involved in a lot of my projects, so... Yeah.
And what amazes me about, you know, people like yourself who can sing, act, and write, it just amazes me how you can put all those things together. But of the three, before we get to your current project, which do you think is the toughest? You know, is there one harder than the other? Because I've tried,
how
to sing, definitely. And I did a little acting in grade school, but writing has been a struggle for me. So, you know, which one is harder for you? If they are hard, you know, some people just have a knack for it.
Yeah, you know, I think that I've had ups and downs in each and every one, and I still have them. You know, I still have, like, moments where it's like, what is wrong with you? It's like you're acting like you've never done this before, you know? So I have those moments. You know, I had one just the other day. It was weird, you know, and you feel like you're starting all over and you don't know what's going on, and, you know, but I think it's, I don't know if, again, I don't know if one is more challenging than the other, but they all do have their own challenges. Like, you get, like, sometimes you're just, your juices are flowing, you know, and when I sit down to write, I just write, and it's like, comes out of me super fast, and I hardly have any editing I have to do. And then, you know, other projects, yeah, it comes, it spills onto the paper really fast, but then I spend like 6 months editing it, you know, so that is not fun. There is, like, nothing fun about that. And there's moments of like, wow, that sounds good, but it's like, yeah, I don't know if, you know, you have to just kind of find the, you know, I tried to, like, trick myself, I guess, a little bit. You know, it's like, oh, write a novel. Now write a monologue, you know, because you get little joy from little things. Like, a novel takes a long time. You write a one-act play. You write a song. Hopefully the song won't take forever. Sometimes they do. You know, but you try to write something that's not going to take as much time. And then you get those little bumps of joy in between for the time that you're really challenged. So I don't think I really answered your question, but they all have
their own
challenges.
I mean, again, like I said, you know, I've tried writing, and sometimes it just flows, and then sometimes you get, you know, the writer's block. So I can only imagine when you have those different talents of writing, acting, and singing. But
yeah,
I don't know about the other two.
I'm lucky that I'm all in one piece, right? Can you imagine? Yeah, you're dealing with all the angst from like from all ends,
yeah.
Artist angst.
Well, your current project, the Angry
yes.
Movie Guy. Tell me about this.
Angry Movie Guy is a romantic comedy novel, film industry romantic comedy novel, about a film critic named Charlie Zimmerman, who begins as an awkward film reviewer, and he chooses to become a sensationally verbally incontinent film critic known as the Angry Movie Guy to achieve fame and success. So it's the story of his transformation from one end of the spectrum to another, can't get a job to save his life, is known by everyone in the world. And what that sort of change does to him. And then it's a romantic comedy, so we kind of fast forward to Charlie from, you know, boy, college year to his adult life, fame and fortune, and he's pretty much a Grinch, hence the Angry Movie Guy, because he is definitely, he gives the worst reviews ever, and people just love to listen to him basically, you know, I guess dump on people really in a certain way, like they find it humorous. It's like, oh, what, did they really take him serious? No, but they are entertained by his, you know, rants.
Negative
so,
criticism.
Yeah, his criticism. They're his, it's his critiques, but they're not, you know, they're a lot more of it is a lot of his ranting and critiquing, and it is for entertainment for sure. You know, whereas
so it's more about personal, I guess, gain.
Yeah, well, he really started out to be a very sincere film reviewer. That was his, what he wanted to do his whole life. His mother was a actress and wanted to pursue this. As a child, he remembered reading his mother's reviews of her performances and always felt that that was like something he connected with. And so he took it very seriously, but he couldn't get a job taking it seriously. You know, nobody was interested in his well-thought-out reviews.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he basically got an opportunity and is very upset when he gets the opportunity. He finds out some bad news and kind of takes his frustration out on the world onto this movie. And
so No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he can't believe he got printed. And then on top of it getting printed, he can't believe someone so loves it, loves that it's just this horrible biting review, and they're like, it's amazing. So.
So you say it's a romantic comedy. Where does the romance come in?
Well, the romance comes in when Charlie is at kind of a, he's at a somewhat of a downward spiral in his life. He's at the top of his career. His life is going great as far as, like, financially well off. He got the career he wanted. They're even thinking about making a movie about this guy, kind of like a Howard Stern sort of story.
That's what I thought about.
Yeah, he's like the Howard Stern of film critics. Like, that's
okay.
Who he is. You know? He's a shock jock type of guy. And he's at the top of his career, and he gives a bad review, unbeknownst to him, to some a woman that he has become smitten with. And so she doesn't really react the way normal people do. Normally, his reviews, people get pissed off. He has a lot of hate mail type of thing.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, real altercation except for, you know, he gets a lot of bad phone calls and, you know, maybe some steaming hot poop landing at his doorstep. I'm not sure, you know, but those are the type of things, you know. And his confrontation with this female is much more over the top. And because he's a celebrity, it's all caught on camera, paparazzi.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's a catalyst for him to kind of alter his life. And I call it a Grinch-like personal redemption story because he's just, he's basically the angry movie guy all the time at this point in his life because he's just sad, you know, inside. So in a way that he can't really, I also compare him in some ways to a Marilyn Monroe. Like Marilyn was not able to go back to Norma Jean.
Yeah.
You know, she was Marilyn all the time because everybody loved Marilyn and Norma Jean did not feel loved. Right. Well, Charlie has a little bit of that, like as Charlie Zimmerman, awkward film critic, you know, he didn't have a lot of support. Nobody could give him a job. He was really, you know, really down on his luck. But as Charlie the Snake Evans, he's at the top of his game and he's loved by, well, he's loved and hated. But he's loved still, you know, like
he got the recognition basically because of his character, negative character, I guess.
Yeah. So he's very, he's like her in that way that he can't separate himself from this character, except for his character, instead of being a sex symbol, is this angry, lewd, you know, and lewd and crude guy. And so it's not a fun suit to be wearing all the time. So she really makes him get in touch with what he had been searching for, this kind of lost part of himself. And, you know, through, he also has seen his psychiatrist. So we see him visiting his psychiatrist and we see some other cool plot twists in there. He has a favorite movie that he keeps watching throughout the book called Lost in Her Eyes. And this is his favorite black and white film starring Jack Waters and Edie Greene. And Jack Waters is this guy who's like the owner of a nightclub, very smooth and suave and everything like that he wishes he could be.
Yeah.
And Edie Greene is a singer in the club. And she's everything he, like, wants in a woman because she's sweet and she's charming and she's gorgeous. You know, she's an amazing voice, blah, blah, blah. And so he is in love with her. And this also helps him. Like, he meets this woman and he's going to therapy and he's watching this movie and he's kind of, like, trying to figure out how to be the leading man in his life. And so this character, Jack Waters, kind of influences his waking life and his dreams and it's kind of all blends together. There's also an astral version of Charlie, which is a little odd. But because he's going to his therapist, so I'm like a big fan of like Jungian psychology and dream therapy and all that stuff. And I'm also a big fan of Charlie Kaufman, who is able to take very odd things and make them real, like, you know, The Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. Have you seen some of Charlie Kaufman's stuff?
No.
he just takes like crazy scenarios and he makes them very real, and you can't believe that you're something so insane, but you're so wrapped up in it and it's completely real to you. He did Being John Malkovich. Have you seen that?
Okay, yeah, I know that.
All right, so you know that film is so kind of strange and yet so believable at the same time. So I'm a big fan of his work, and so I wanted to kind of use a little bit of what I love in his work and try to incorporate some of that style or feeling into my own. So Astral Charlie is kind of influenced by that in some ways. Astral Charlie is, you know, also trying to get in touch with Charlie. He's like, Charlie's having his meltdown and his astral self is trying to get him to come back to reality, which is sort of like a weird plot twist and turn in the book. I know people don't expect an astral version of him, but it's not your typical rom-com. It has all your like, it has all your typical elements of a rom-com, But because he's in a movie, he's in the movie business, I thought, you know, why not just make it a little more cinematically sort of, it's cinematic, you know, so it's, you can be a little more out there. And why not have almost like special effects in his own life? Because that's, he is in the movie business, you know, that's his life. Going to the movie.
Where did you get the, you know, the idea for this book? Have you experienced the negative criticism? I'm sure, you know, being an actress and also singing, I mean, you know, you had to have somebody to criticize you.
I had to have someone to criticize, or someone.
No,
I mean,
to criticize your work. I mean, anytime you try to do anything, you know, your dream or fulfill your dream, there's going to be critics out there. So, did you get the idea from being criticized yourself, or?
No, I didn't. Thankfully. I didn't. I mean, I have had plenty of people who have made some suggestions along the way about my work, obviously, because you're always, somebody's always got a suggestion, you know, and somebody always has advice.
Yeah.
You know, you can, it's better to see it as advice, I guess, sometimes than as criticism. But it didn't really come from something that happened to me, per se, but You know
it happened.
I mean, I have my own frustrations with the industry, believe me, but it didn't come from that. You know, it came from, I went to film school. I started in film school and then transferred to writing for film and television. And when I, in film school and in writing for film and television, I'm around a lot of educated, opinionated individuals who had their own critiques of the world, of cinema, etc. And it came from that. It was a seed of that, because it was the first time that I had been around people who were so, you know, I was still at that point was like, I want to write movies. I want to, you know, make movies and write TV, and it's all going to be awesome and easy. And, you know, they're coming from a different place, and they were teaching me to look at things from a much more keen and critical perspective. I'd watch a movie and they just tear it to shreds, and I'm like, "You just ruined the movie I love." You know, they would just tear a movie that you love to shreds in like 5 seconds. You're like, "How did that just happen?" But I learned a lot because of it, you know. I mean, I certainly could rip a lot of my own work to shreds, and I have. You know, I don't need someone else to rip it to shreds. I'll rip it to shreds because I have very high expectations of myself. So
yeah,
it's like, you know, I get it. You know, I get it. And that came from being around people who had high expectations, being in school and being around people who said, "Do you like that? You're not really looking at it." You know, so for me, I was, like, thrown off guard by it at first and a little, you know, I was taken back from their opinions and I would say a little turned off, you know, but eventually it was the beginning seed for this book. Then I went and saw a couple bad movies, and at the time I was one of those starving college students, just paid $12 or $13 something to go see a movie. And I was so pissed off. I live in New York, you know.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, with this project coming out, when is it actually due for release, and where can our readers find it?
Oh, you can find it on Amazon right now. It's up for pre-order. So it comes out on February 14th. It's a rom-com, so we thought Valentine's Day for a release. So you can pre-order it now on Amazon.com. You can also go to AngryMovieGuy.com and pre-order it there as well. And then, February 14th, it should be out. It's all over anywhere on the major retailers, online and in stores. We're having a launch party for people who are interested, who live in New York. You know, they could reach out to me via Angry Movie Guy website. They could go on there and they could send a note if they're interested in coming to the launch party. Should be a lot of fun. Also, if if people want to follow me on Twitter, at Listen to Izzy Church 222, that'd be great. And then you can find out when we're giving away stuff, because we're going to be giving away lots of Angry Movie Guy swag this month. We have some street teams on the street that are going to be going out throughout January and early February. So they can follow me on Twitter for that info.
Just a second. Let me interrupt you for a second. Sit, follow you on Twitter, because I do have some information. I just want to make sure I have the correct information. It says I have listened to Izzy Church on Twitter.
Listen to Izzy Church 222.
222, okay. I just want to make sure I get that correct.
Yeah.
And I do have the angrymovieguy.com and also squaremonkeypublishing.com.
Oh, you know what? I just said the wrong information, too. I'm sorry. Listen to Izzy Church. I'm mixing up all my social feeds. I apologize.
That's what I had.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
Listen to Izzy Church on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Wow. I wonder if I've done that before. And it's Izzy Church 222. That's so bad.
And the
follow me.
Is
let
on,
me give you the wrong information. Yeah, Izzy Church 222 is Twitter.
Okay, all right then. Make sure we get that correct. And
Any
final words for our listeners?
Oh, yeah, check out Angry Movie Guy. It's a great book, and it's getting lots of great reviews, so it's not just me saying it, thankfully. Lots of people who have had an opportunity to read it. You can go on Amazon, and you can read some of their good reviews about it. And so, yeah, just follow along, and I have a lot of other great projects in the works. So if people are interested in film and animation and all that good jazz, I work on some of that stuff as well. And if they follow along with Angry Movie Guy, they'll be able to hear about some of the other fun projects I have in the works.
All right, then. Final question. Izzy, is that your real name?
Isabella.
Isabella. Okay, then. Isabella. Goes by Izzy. This is Miss Izzy Church. You guys, check her out at theangrymovieguy.com. That's her book. And also follow her on Twitter at Listen to Izzy Church 222. And on Instagram, Listen to Izzy Church. You all, this is Tony signing off. Izzy, thank you for coming on. And we will definitely reach out and share your information. We want to see you on the big stage.
Yeah, me too. Thank
you. All right, thanks a lot, guys. You all have a great afternoon. You all be blessed.
Thank you.
Wonderful God is so wonderful. He's wonderful. It's so wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my guide. Whatever I need, the Lord will provide. And praise my God's name.
My Lord.
I know He's so wonderful. Yes, He's wonderful. Wonderful, yes, He is. And oh, He's wonderful. I know the Lord, He's so wonderful. Oh, yeah. If you never tried God, try the Lord one day and see, won't my Father come down and make a way? And well,